This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
Droids are clean, the vaporizers are patched, and the speeder's fueled. It's time to pick up some blue milk and power converters. You're listening to Tosche Station Radio, brought to you by the Majestic Giraffe Network. Now here are your hosts for the Snarkiest Podcast in Star Wars and Geek Culture, Brian and Nancy.
From the outskirts of Anchorhead and on the shores of the Great Shot Flats, you're listening to Tosche Station Radio, the bright center in the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host and fiancé, Nancy.
Hi!
On today's episode, we're catching up on news and rumors. We're about to get started, so sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show. And I think we should start the show with an apology.
An apology? Why?
We're sorry we took a month off. It was not planned.
Aw, it's not our fault.
It's not. Every third month I have to work a late shift, and then I got sick, and then you got sick.
I was the one who was sick, really.
Yes, and yeah. We're sorry. We're going to try not to miss a month of podcasting again, because we don't like missing a month of this.
We don't.
We like talking at you, listeners. Our captive audience.
Yes.
And on that note, a word from our sponsors. Tosche Station Radio is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Listeners to this podcast can get a free audiobook by signing up for a free trial. Click the link on Tosche-Station.net for more details.
And we're also brought to you in part by Her Universe. Flaunt your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Battlestar Galactica, Doctor Who, and other fandom-inspired wardrobe and jewelry. Click the link on our blog to purchase awesome geek gear and keep the lights running on the podcast.
And Her Universe teased something new for Star Wars Weekends that you are very, very excited about.
Yes, a dress.
A dress?
It looks like a vintage pattern, and I want it. I want it now.
So, we'll be budgeting for that at Star Wars Weekends.
Yes, we will.
Yes, so new dresses, new items, and if you're going to be at Star Wars Weekends, you can see them and buy them and say hi to Ashley yourself.
Yes, you can.
So go to Star Wars Weekends. It's a lot of fun.
It is. We'll be there.
Okay, Nancy, we're going to start as we normally do. What's new on the blog?
We have some reviews of comics from Bria. She reviewed Legacy 13 and the Star Wars number 7. And Emily reviewed Serenity number 3. There was a little incident around April Fool's Day. As some of you might know, April Fool's Day is when the internet likes to post fake things and jokes, some of which are funnier than others, and some of which actually become real things, like the Tauntaun sleeping bag.
Yes, see, ThinkGeek can do whatever April Fool's thing they want because they end up churning out great products as a result.
Yes. So... Wikipedia, the Star Wars wiki, decided that for April Fool's Day, they were going to have a funny joke, which was a fake subscription service called Wikipedia Pro, as well as their featured article on their front page was going to be an article about breasts, and it was going to be rewritten to contain... kind of offensive and juvenile and very unfunny teenage boy type humor about boobs, although it's probably offensive to teenage boys. And people weren't happy about it. And there's a lot of issues going on. A lot of people said, why did they have to have an article about breasts in the first place? Because the article was not created for April Fool's Day. It was an old article. However, they did update the article for April Fool's Day to make it
even more crass
to make
and offensive.
It, quote unquote, funny, which it was not. And so if you go to that page now, you probably wonder why people were so upset about it. Make sure you read the Tumblr links and the accompanying screenshots so you can see what it actually said on April Fool's Day. And mostly people were just kind of offended that, once again, people who are kind of stewards of the fandom are showing very poor judgment and alienating a half of the fandom.
And the really annoying thing is they started hiding behind the guise of pseudo-intellectualism to justify having what ostensibly at this point is a giant neon sign screaming misogyny.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the breast page has been kind of a issue beforehand, and there's been a lot of votes of whether it needs to be deleted or not.
Have you gone in and see the talk page on those deletions?
No, I don't want to.
The mental acrobatics people are going through to try and justify its continued existence is nothing short of abhorrent and misogynistic, and I mean, it is what it is. This page is offensive. There's no reason for it to be there, and going to the lengths Wikipedia members have gone to justify its continued existence does not speak well on the entire community.
Yeah. And so we had several articles on our blog about it, where Emily called out Wikipedia for their victim-blaming attitude. When they were the ones who brought this on themselves, because if they hadn't put that as their featured article for April Fool's Day, no one would probably have become aware that it existed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were people who knew it existed. I think I saw it once or twice, but like, people only became really outraged when they realized, oh, hey, this exists, and oh, hey, they are making it even worse than it already is by updating it.
And another really annoying thing is how they keep trying to move the goalposts over what the offense
actually is. Okay, well, is it that the article exists, or is it the picture in the article, or is
And that's what they keep trying to come back to.
Or is it the what you change the article to, or is it that there's no counterpart articles for penis? When really it's kind of all of a combination of those things. And it's really just the tone deaf nature. Like, there's no set rules of this is offensive and this is not offensive. However, when there's been tons of discussion lately in fandom about diversity issues and representation of women in fandom and Star Wars in general, and then you decide that this is a funny April Fool's Day joke, that shows that you're extremely tone deaf and you don't give a crap about alienating half of your fan base.
It's either you're completely unaware...
Which is a problem.
Yeah, you're completely ignorant and unaware of why this is bad, or you're going out of your way to needle these people.
Yeah.
Either way, it says nothing good about you.
Especially when one of the comments was that, well, we wanted to do a penis article because that would have been even funnier, but there wasn't any references in the EU.
Oh, great. So blame Lucasfilm and Del Rey. Oh, yeah. Blame them for
and
your
that shows
horrid lack
the,
of judgment.
And that shows the maturity levels. Like, well, penises would have been funnier. Ha ha ha. So, and then they had a somewhat apology, which you tore apart, because it was the whole kind of sorry you were offended.
There were some people who I do respect liked the apology, thought it did what it needed to do. I was not at all impressed with their apology.
Yeah, I kind of wasn't either. I mean, I wish people would stick to their guns and say, yes, the article should exist. The decision to feature it and change it was stupid. And because, I mean, I don't know how anyone could say the decision to feature it and change it was not completely stupid and dumb. I mean, having the article, people have differences of opinions, and that's fine. But, I mean, it just boggles my mind that someone actually wrote that up, used those words and that language, and thought, this is funny, People won't have a problem with this.
It's really, what did you expect?
Yeah.
What did you expect?
Mm-hmm.
You got this reaction, and now you're just bitter that you got called out for being awful.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was listening to Full of Sith a couple weeks ago when they were talking about this, and they put it well. If Wikipedia does not take away the keys from the people who are responsible for this and the people who think that this kind of stuff is okay, then Wikipedia is in the wrong.
Yeah.
Like, okay, there was an administrator who went out lashing out on a bunch of different blogs and forums, and that person is a very high-ranking bureaucrat at Wikipedia. Why does that person still have the keys to the kingdom?
Mm-hmm. Good question. Good question.
And yeah, I'm sorry. There is no excuse for what you guys have done, and your apology, and the apology was, like you said, it was this classic, we're sorry you were offended.
Mm-hmm. Not cool.
Not cool at all. So, Wikipedia, clean up your act.
And
this isn't because Nancy and I are prudes. We actually think that the picture on the page is actually really tastefully done.
I mean, it's kind of funny to accuse female fans of being prudes when we're the biggest...
Have you seen the fan fiction corners?
Yeah. Here's a note. If you haven't seen fan fiction, there's a lot of smut. And you know who writes that smut? Generally women.
So men.
And you know who reads it? Women.
So it might not be the picture. It could be your behavior that we're all upset about.
Mm-hmm. Just me. Could be.
So, Wikipedia, fix this.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
There's no reason for the page to exist. And even if there was, you can't be trusted with it. So get rid of it.
Yep.
Ultimatum. And finally, in what's new on the blog,
Bria wrote a Winter Soldier-themed Marvel Comics primer. So if you are looking to get into Marvel Comics, specifically ones related to Captain America / the Winter Soldier, because you went and saw the movie and thought it was awesome, you should read that article. And speaking of Bria, she just tweeted a picture of herself on the Star Wars panel at AwesomeCon, which is going on right now, and she's sitting next to Timothy Zahn, and I'm very jealous of her.
One of these years we're going to have to do AwesomeCon.
Yeah, one of these years we're going to have to do all the cons.
Yes. It won't be next year, though, because if we're at a con in April next year, it's going to be...
Celebration 7.
Although yes. They dumped the numerals, which is... Wait, Celebration 7? Why are they not using 7?
Right?
That's all sorts of missed synergy.
I'm using Celebration 7.
I'm using 7 because, come on. Mm-hmm. This is the one year you shouldn't dump the numerals.
Yep.
Oh, well.
So, we're done with what's new on the blog. How about we talk about Fixer's Flash?
Fixer's Flash?
You can waste time with your friends when your chores are done. Now, come on, get to it.
And, speaking of Winter Soldier, like everyone else in the world, we saw the movie.
I really enjoyed it.
I liked it, too. I don't know if I liked it more than the first Captain America.
See, I have a soft spot in my heart for the first Captain America, because like I've said on this show before, it's the best Indiana Jones movie since Last Crusade.
Yes. I'm not much into the whole spy political thriller genre, so it didn't kind of excite me as much as some of the other Marvel movies, but I generally liked it, and I enjoyed it, and looking forward to upcoming Marvel movies, because you're good.
It's good stuff. And up next, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Which
is a movie that's either going to be tremendous or just awful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All I know is I'm going to be singing, I'm hooked on a feeling, until the movie releases, and then for a good while after.
Even.
But you're in love with me.
Yeah. That trailer is really good. I don't know if the movie's going to be any good, but that trailer's...
I cannot think of a trailer in recent memory that's been as much fun as that one.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty much...
It's textbook.
This is your movie.
It's textbook. Make your trailers like this, because this trailer's fabulous. Take note, other directors in Hollywood. That's how you want your trailers to be cut.
Exactly.
And you made me watch a movie.
I did. I was sick on Monday, as were you. Then I wanted to watch something funny and mindless on Netflix, and I found that While You Were Sleeping was finally on Netflix streaming, so I made you watch it. While You Were Sleeping is a 90s movie starring Sandra Bullock when she was starting to become a big star, and it's a romantic comedy. It takes place around Christmas time. It's one of the movies I have to always watch at Christmas, and it's funny. Did you like it?
I did. While You Were Sleeping, Love Actually, and Die Hard. Come on, Die Hard's a great Christmas movie.
This is the time when I admit that I've never actually seen Die Hard. So are we going to watch that?
Yes.
Okay.
We have to watch
Die
Hard.
Is it on Netflix?
I don't know.
Well, we'll find out.
We can check.
Okay.
We can see if it's on Netflix.
Or Amazon Prime.
Yeah, that's true. Eh, I don't want to do that right now. yes, but we're going to have to watch Die Hard.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of people at conventions that are not us, we went to MegaCon in March, and it was fun.
But extraordinarily crowded. If you think DragonCon is bad, I think MegaCon is actually worse.
Well, it's because MegaCon is cramped into one little part of the convention center, and DragonCon has like 5 hotels now, so... There's points when it gets really choked up, but MegaCon was, like, pretty much all choked up and not super fun at times. But we went through the exhibit hall and bought a lot of action figures and a little Luke Skywalker bobblehead.
Yeah, we tweeted out a picture on the show account of the action figure haul we walked away with.
We got Dash Rendar.
We did get Dash Rendar, and then I took a picture of him next to a can of Diet Pepsi.
Because he is the Diet Han Solo of the EU.
He's only one calorie Han Solo.
Who did I also get? I think I got Shmi.
You got Shmi.
I got Sabe in her battle gear from Phantom Menace.
That action figure is Bria approved.
Yes, I got, what else? You're over by the action figures. I got Luke from Shadows of the Empire in some sort of guard uniform. Oh, I got a Luke building his lightsaber.
Oh, and we got a General Kraken.
Yes. So, well, we got more. Or I think I got Adigalia.
Yes.
I got Adigalia. I think, didn't I get another EU figure at the bottom? I can't remember, but I got some action figures. I was trying to find Asajj Ventress and Ahsoka Tano, but...
We found an Ahsoka.
But I decided I wasn't going to pay that much money for it.
That was $35 for an Ahsoka.
Yeah, so I'm going to look online and see. We also saw Darth Plagueis, and I was really...
Oh, we almost got that one.
Yeah, but so yeah.
Exciting, yes, exciting
stuff.
Make
more female action figures, please.
We ran into the cutest costume ever at MegaCon.
A little tiny Princess Captain America. I loved it. See, Ahsoka Tano action figure is on eBay right now for $20.
What's the shipping?
I don't know.
Oh, eBay.
It's also on Amazon for... $35.
Ouch.
$5 shipping. Ooh. $11.96.
Ooh, might have to do that.
Yep.
And then a final bit of nerdery.
Nerdery? What?
Awesome nerdery.
Awesome nerdery, yeah.
We visited the Kennedy Space Center complex. The first time I've done that since I moved here.
Mm-hmm. We did. And it was pretty damn awesome. We got to see the... the Atlantis exhibit, which we haven't done, and it was everything I wanted and amazing, and I cried. I admit, I cried.
I mean, the video leading up to it was really cheesy.
Yeah, it really was.
But then Then the screen pulled back, and you see Atlantis. It was incredible.
Yeah, it was like breathtaking, and I highly recommend that everyone go see Atlantis. And ticket at Kennedy Space Center is about $50, $40 maybe.
$40, $50 bucks, yeah, day. Somewhere in there.
And it's definitely full 8 hours. You can go to the Saturn V Center, and they have a launch gantry where you can see the launch pad, but that they were being refurbished. So we actually got to drive out around the launch pad, which was really cool. And then we went to the Atlantis exhibit, which is, you know, pretty big and expansive. And then we saw one of the IMAX movies and walked around the Rocket Garden, saw some other exhibits. It's pretty...
It's really a shame how KSC flies under the radar of things to do in Florida.
It is. It is.
I mean, it's worth going just so you can walk under a Saturn V booster.
Right?
The sheer scale of that thing will blow your mind, I promise.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's Fixer's Flash, the geeky things we've been up to. And with that, it is time for...
Flimming in the Flim Flam.
It's time for Deke's Dirt, news from around fandom, and we're going to start with the latest bit of news. Celebration Anaheim has announced their stage hosts.
Yes. Two familiar faces. We've got James Arnold Taylor doing the Celebration stage again, David Collins doing the digital stage, but no Pablo Hidalgo this year. Sadness. But people are speculating that he'll be on panels, so...
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, probably because all the stuff going on with the story group and everything, I'm sure he'll be there. But the hosts of Rebel Force Radio are going to be the behind-the-scenes stage hosts, so a lot of things to look forward to leading up to Celebration. A year away,
less than a year. Wow. And we already have a hotel room booked just in case we can go. I'm hoping we can.
I know, right?
It would be fun. And Star Wars Reads Day is returning for a third year. This year it's on my birthday.
Yay!
I don't know what that means, but
I think
yay.
It was last year, too.
What were we doing last year?
That was the day we were getting engagement pictures.
That's right.
Also, segue back to an earlier discussion, I remembered the other action figure I bought.
Oh, what was it?
Barriss Offee.
Right, Barriss. Also Bria approved.
Yes. So, yeah. Kevin Hearn, author, turned in his Luke Skywalker novel.
Yay!
Coming out next January, January 13th.
And of the three informal Empire and Rebellion novels, this is the one Nancy's most excited for.
Yep. Because it's Luke Skywalker, and that's really all I want.
Luke Skywalker doing awesome things.
Right?
What are you thinking of this informal trilogy so far?
Well, I kind of liked Razor's Edge. I thought it was fine. I never actually finished Honor Among Thieves.
Really? I thought you had.
No, I didn't. It was bad.
The book or you?
Me.
Oh.
I was bad.
Okay.
No.
See, I like the book.
Yeah, I just kind of stopped reading it and then never started again. I kind of haven't been reading anything low lately, so I can't really fault that book.
Yeah, I mean... I don't know what it is about this series. I mean, this isn't the first set of books we've had in this between A New Hope and Empire era or time frame, but they've been decent reads, but they haven't really grabbed me like, say, Scoundrels did.
Yeah, same thing. I mean, it's kind of, I think I'm just kind of sick of this era. Like, it's just kind of like been there, done that.
I mean, you can still play it safe by going into the era between Empire and Jedi. Yeah. I'd actually kind of like to see some books.
Or after Jedi books, but you know we're not going to get that anytime soon. So,
but if we're gonna play in this original trilogy era, let's try some stuff after Empire.
Mm-hmm.
That would be fun.
Agreed.
Harrison Ford did a Reddit Ask Me Anything, and he says he doesn't care who shot first.
Of course he doesn't.
Does anyone play a curmudgeonly old man better than Harrison Ford now?
Maybe no.
Tommy Lee Jones. Maybe. But yes, Harrison Ford did a Reddit Ask Me Anything, and I'm just going to pull up the Club Jade post for some highlights.
Basically, curmudgeon. I know someone said I love you, and he responded, I know.
Oh.
Of course.
In a fight, who would win, Indiana Jones or Han Solo? And he responds, the promoter would win.
That's a good one, yeah.
Yes, yeah. No one does curmudgeonly old man like Harrison Ford.
No.
In a bit of confirmation, no, Benedict Cumberbatch won't be in Star Wars, so stop asking.
Aw, wah, wah.
He's too busy being Khan or something.
I think that's over with.
Is it? Is it over with? I apologize for the noise. Our dog has just woken up.
It is rolling around on the floor. Being really cute.
I've discovered that being a dog owner is... It provides a lot of very unintentionally entertaining moments.
Mm-hmm.
ABC and Disney will be giving bloggers, not us, a look at Rebels early.
Wah, wah.
Rebels, this fall. Stay tuned.
Watch it.
My favorite news headline, Karen Gillan's hair might be appearing in episode 7.
Yeah, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. She shaved her head for Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah. Apparently they saved her hair and they're saying it's gonna be in episode 7. Like, and so everyone was like, oh my god, someone's gonna be Mara Jade! Because you can't just make a red wig or dye someone's hair red. You have to have Karen Gillan's hair because she's the only actress with red hair in the world. Yeah.
Every level of this story is just weird.
So stupid.
Why Karen Gillan's hair? And I don't know. I don't know.
I'm trying not to ask.
I don't know. Yeah. And, oh, it's time for some soundboard music.
Oh.
And that's right, it is.
This is madness.
And the winner, taking the bracket, it's Obi-Wan Kenobi. Woo! Over Darth Vader in a rematch. That happened at a rematch of the Death Star.
A rematch of a rematch.
A rematch for rematch, yes.
This time, Obi-Wan was victorious over Vader. Yay!
And we kind of checked out of the whole bracket process, didn't we?
Yeah, I'm kind of glad Obi-Wan won, though, cause since he's the one who defeated Luke, so I guess if you're gonna lose to someone, you might as well lose to the winner.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's just kind of interesting to see how in touch with the rest of fandom you are in these bracket thingies, cause, oh god, I do not agree with most of them.
What was the one that really had you torqued?
A lot of them? The Luke one. The Luke one had me torqued.
Who did Luke lose to?
Obi-Wan!
Oh, right.
That's what I just said.
I don't agree.
But then
with
there
that.
Was Padme and Rex. Padme lost to Captain Rex, which was stupid. I'm sorry.
Sorry, but yeah. Yeah.
And I think Leia lost to R2.
I'm still kind of weirded out on how Ahsoka wasn't even in the actual bracket, but as a play-in.
Well, it just goes to show how few females there are to actually put in the bracket.
Gee, you know, I wonder if that can be fixed somehow. How could you fix that? How could you fix that?
Create more female characters.
And put them in a movie?
Well, next year we'll have the Rebels characters, at least.
That's true.
Hopefully we'll have Hera and Sabine, or both of them.
So have you noticed that Lucasfilm seems to be going to a very original trilogy kind of focus with all of their touch points these days?
They have been for a while, yeah.
I mean,
which is kind of weird, because they should be focusing on the sequel trilogy, but... Well,
they don't have anything to focus on yet, but I don't know. I mean, I don't disagree with it. I think that's fine. It's just weird after being focused on the prequel trilogy era for so long.
Yeah.
The times be changing. Alan Horn, Disney executive, says that episode 7 is mostly cast and is being shot now.
So why haven't you told us who is in it?
I don't know. I don't have an answer for you.
God.
I do not have an answer.
I am getting so annoyed. I've been annoyed for a while. We had this conversation after Captain America that we're pretty much basically apathetic about anything episode 7, and
until we get something other than yes, it's happening.
Yeah, until we get something about what the movie's actually going to be about,
or at the very least, who's in it.
Who's in it? Who's the baddie? That sort of thing.
I mean, this is getting weird, right?
It's kind of like announcing a book and then telling you nothing about it and being like, "But you should be excited because it's a new book." And I'm like, "Yes, but." I stopped being excited about a new Star Wars movie a while ago.
Duology.
Maybe I'm a bad fan because I'm not... The knowledge of a movie is not enough to keep me excited for 2 years.
And it was...
No, wait, I'm sorry. It was 2012 when they announced it, right?
Yeah, so we're coming up on 2 years.
It's going to be 3 years... before the movie comes out, which I'm not saying that they're not making it fast enough, but my point is that, you know, announcing it, but then not knowing anything about it for, like, a year and a half, it's not, you know. And I'm not saying, oh, they shouldn't make a movie. I'm just saying I'm not excited. And I want to be excited, so tell us some stuff.
Yeah, please. It just seems weird that we're at the filming point and there's been no casting announcements. This isn't normal operating procedure, is it?
Not really.
I can't think of another film that does this.
They announced all the casts for Phantom Menace before filming started.
Mm-hmm. And we know like a year or two in advance on a Marvel film who's going to be in it.
Yeah. It's frustrating. Especially if it comes to like the big three, like everyone already assumes they're in the movie, so why can't you just tell us?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you trying to be secretive? Stop it.
I understand secrecy.
No, I don't.
And I understand not spoiling things and...
But a cast list is not a spoiler.
It really isn't.
A cast list is just information.
And you really don't even have to say what role they're playing. You just have to tell us who's in the movie.
I just want to know a basic summary of the plot, like a few sentences, and who the cast is. Because that's when the speculation gets fun, because you can think, okay, this person's playing this person, this person's playing this person, and blah, 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 blah. That's when it gets fun. But whatever. I'm just a cranky old lady. Been there, done that.
I just can't get over how weird this is.
Yeah. I mean, because, like, with the prequels, we already had a plot. Like, mm-hmm. We knew what it was going to be about, basically. Anakin becomes Darth Vader. You know, we kind of had some direction and knew who was going to have to be in the movie because we knew kind of, okay, well, Obi-Wan has to be in the movie. Yoda, are we going to see Yoda? Oh, we got Palpatine in the movie. And, you know, we knew Anakin's going to be in the movie. You know, so that kind of thing. Here, and, you know, we don't really know anybody.
I think there's also value in at least putting the cast out there, because when you do that, you get to control the narrative. Right now, the narrative, it sounds like it's a mess.
It's all rumors, and I mean, it really... I mean, I say right now I'm not excited, but it really doesn't take much to satisfy Star Wars fans. You just give us a little nugget, and we're happy for a while. and then you just toss us something new, and then we're good. And then, oh, here's something
if
else.
If the big three are in this movie, that could have tidied us over for a long time.
Well, they were talking about announcing them last year on May the 4th. We're coming up on May the 4th again, and people are like, are they going to announce stuff on May the 4th? And it just boggles my mind that a year later, we're still trying to figure out. And I think another reason why I don't get as excited is because the whole script rewrite has happened since that time.
That has me nervous.
Yeah, it has me nervous too.
And I will own up to this. I'd probably feel less nervous if Star Trek Into Darkness hadn't happened.
Yeah, me too. I wisely said last year that I was excited about J.J. Abrams directing Star Wars, but I would probably have to amend my opinion after seeing Star Trek Into Darkness, and I was right.
I mean, I don't know which movie was more tone deaf, Into Darkness or Man of Steel.
I didn't see Man of Steel, so.
It was so bad. It was so, so bad.
Well, I think we've bitched enough, so.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Moving on. In addition to the Big Bang Theory, the Goldbergs will be getting its own Star Wars episode.
Yay.
The Goldbergs, an 80s themed show about an 80s family set in the 80s, is getting a Star Wars episode.
We are very surprised by this.
ABC, Disney, Star Wars, yeah.
Yeah.
I look forward to the eventual, oh wait, TGIF doesn't exist anymore, does it?
No.
Dang it! You remember when on TGIF, every time a new Disney film was coming out, they'd do some special thing on a Friday.
I just remember them going to Disney World.
Yeah, every TGIF show
they would
go
to
World.
Disney World and ride Star Tours. That's what they could do now.
Yes, they can go to Disney World and ride Star Tours.
StarWars.com got a facelift.
It did get a facelift. Matt Martin, the folks that working over there, it looks really nice.
Yay!
Nice, minimalist, clean design. It looks good. Well done, folks.
Yep, pretty good.
And a final bit of news. Disney Publishing announces 4 new Star Wars young adult books.
And this is not adult novels, so don't get excited. That was my first thought when I saw the YouTube video. I'm like, oh, YA books. Meh.
So, it's essentially YA adaptations of the original
Yeah, they're
children's
book. I wouldn't say YA.
Okay,
I think it's young reader.
Young reader, new reader.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which we've had before.
Honestly, it's probably something we've been kind of missing.
Yeah.
In Star Wars publishing is new reader books.
Yeah.
So we still don't know what's going on with the adult novels. We still don't have any more novels for this year unless the Kevin Hearn Luke book gets moved up, which I bet it will.
Well, if he turned it in now, I think it just matters of edits and if they can get the publishing, actual printing pushed up.
It would not surprise me. I mean, they've pushed up books before. Didn't Scoundrels get moved up?
I think it got pushed back.
That's right. It was Razor's Edge that got pushed up.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, don't be surprised if that happens. But that's the last. That's the last adult novel we know of.
Yeah.
Of course, the other question is that the end of the Del Rey contract?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Dunk over at Club Jade did some sleuthing and found that, what was it? She noticed that one of Disney's publishing arms has a science fiction.
Yeah, Hachette has Orbit.
Okay, and Disney owns that?
I think so. I don't know.
Okay. Well, don't be surprised if a Marvel happens there. And don't freak out because this wouldn't be the first time that the adult publishing arm has changed hands.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving on.
Found anything yet? Nothing yet, sir! How about you? Not a thing, sir! What about you guys? We ain't found shit!
It's Biggs Bullshite.
Yeah,
we talk rumors as it pertains to Episode 7, the sequel trilogy, and the Star Wars fandom at large.
And there's a lot of them. First of all, there's, in addition to AwesomeCon, there is another convention going on in Salt Lake City right now, Salt Lake City Comic Con, and Jeremy Bullock was on a panel, and he might have let something slip about being involved in something. He kind of, they asked him what he was doing, and he said, I can't talk about that, so...
I think anyone that's been involved with Star Wars at any point are just dropping that to screw with us.
I really wish that Mark Hamill would tweet things like, off to the gym, or like, you know, meeting with a redheaded actress.
Yep. So, is he doing something with Star Wars? Maybe. Who knows?
Yes.
If he is, he signed an NDA, so we won't know from him.
Nope, we won't. There has been a frequent rumor of late about Episode 7 returning to Tatooine, which, of course, because every Star Wars movie except for Empire Strikes Back has to have something on Tatooine or else the universe will implode. So there's a rumor about them returning to Tatooine, and they were trying to figure out where the filming would be, because I guess Tunisia is not the most stable place right now. Now there's rumors that there's Episode 7 set in Abu Dhabi, and wondering if they're filming there and trying to figure out what is going on, because it looks like it's a escape pod or an AT-AT foot or something, and I say don't even bother trying to figure it out.
Or a giant air conditioning unit for the tent.
Yeah. So, yeah. I guess I wouldn't be surprised if Episode 7 had something on Tatooine. I would be upset if the part of Episode 7 that takes place on Tatooine involves going to fetch Hermit Luke and bring him back to action, because I think Hermit Luke is the dumbest idea in Star Wars.
And ladies and gentlemen, this is where we segue into a brief discussion topic. Hermit Luke. Let's discuss why Nancy hates the idea of Hermit Luke.
Okay. First of all, Luke Skywalker is a friendly, outgoing person. He is not a hermit like the expanded universe likes to portray him. He's not super serious. He doesn't go around wearing black all the time. He doesn't, you know, philosophize about the Force all the time. You know, look at him in A New Hope. He's just like a kid, you know, and he keeps some of that throughout all of the movies. Even in Return of the Jedi, he's laughing at Han, not being able to, you know, get across what he wants with the Ewoks. And he's, like, in the background, covering his mouth, laughing because he thinks it's hilarious. When Han runs off, he looks at Leia and is like, whatever. You look at, just look at the background and look at the faces that he makes. He's funny. He's hilarious. And he has a lot of friends. You know, if you just read the EU, he's friends with all the rogues and everything. He's got the entire Jedi Order that he is kind of taken care of under his wing. And that's one of the reasons why I like the Alston book so much, is because Aaron Alston got that Luke was funny and was just a normal, down-to-earth dude who was also a Jedi Master. You know, the part when they had his, farewell party in Outcasts made me cry, because it was like, look at all of the friends he has. Like, these are all people who care about him and love him, and he loves all of them. And it's not just because he was married in the expanded universe is why I think he should have a family. I think he should have a family because that's the kind of person I think he is.
Yeah, I think he should have a family just based on the context of the films.
Yeah, and it's not like I'm saying, oh, his life wouldn't be complete if he wasn't married and had kids. Because, I mean, no, like, there's certain characters I think, you know, like Lando. I could see Lando being a bachelor his entire life, even though he wasn't, you know. There's, like, a Talon Card, whatever. Or even, like, even someone like Mirax. I could have seen her, like, being a bachelor. Like, I could have seen Mara, you know, being unmarried her entire life. But Luke, I just cannot see him. If he didn't end up getting married, okay. But I couldn't see him living that sort of life, where he would just be, okay, I'm going to go live in the desert and be a hermit, or I'm just going to stay on this Jedi Academy or in the Jedi Temple and never leave. Like, I just don't see him doing that.
And I always come back to the scene in Return of the Jedi where he chucks his lightsaber.
Yeah.
That scene, Luke Skywalker says no to the dark side and no to the old order.
Right. I mean, he's there to save his father. You know, he could have just done what Obi-Wan did in Revenge of the Sith and say, you are a threat. I have to take you down. It doesn't matter that you are my Padawan. Because that's the way Obi-Wan's been trained his entire life, and that's the way Obi-Wan thinks. Luke is not that kind of Jedi. You know, and the Jedi have moved on. He knows that. And for him to institute a kind of attachment role, that would be awful. And the best way to come right out and say that attachment rule is stupid is to have him not follow it. And let's just say, okay, Luke doesn't get married because either he doesn't want to or he doesn't find a partner. Okay, he can still adopt kids, have kids of his own, you know, be a single dad. And I could see Luke doing that because he was adopted. So was Leia. Mm-hmm. I mean, some war orphan child. That would be, like, perfect.
I can see that working.
Like, if they want to have Luke have kids, but they don't want to introduce a love interest because they don't want to be like, okay, where you don't want to have to explain how Luke Skywalker got married because somehow people think it's too hard to understand that he met someone, fell in love, and got married. They could still have him have a kid and just say, like, oh, this is Luke's adopted son.
Mm-hmm.
And who would think that was weird? Like, okay, Luke Skywalker, Jedi Knight, here with the galaxy. He's going to adopt some child that needs a home.
And, you know, I just don't want him to see him become Obi-Wan.
No.
Partly because Obi-Wan is kind of culpable for a lot of the bad things that happened.
Yeah, I mean, I love Obi-Wan, but one of the reasons I like Obi-Wan is because he's flawed. You know, mm-hmm. Like, he's the epitome of what a Jedi should have been. Like, him, I actually liked seeing him as a Padawan in Phantom Menace because it was a really good contrast to Anakin as mm-hmm. a Padawan. And this guy who is everything a Jedi should be and, like, always, even when he ends up falling in love, he still says, this is me, I'm a Jedi, and I'm going to live by this code. He still ends up screwing everything up. And that's why he's so interesting.
Because of his attachment to the rules.
Yeah.
And the guidelines and the structure and even Yoda, of the old order.
I mean, even Yoda says, you know, I mean, they all say that they've made mistakes. And in the arc from the Lost Missions, you know, Yoda kind of basically admits that they've screwed everything up. So I just can't see Luke going back to the way things were.
And, you know, this is part of the reason why the Denning era expanded yes. universe fell so flat on its
because
face.
Because it was just basically prequel Jedi cloned, you know? And
you read about Luke in this order that's this mirror of the old order, and you're like, how could you possibly have gone from Jedi to this?
Yeah.
Like Troy Denning has never seen that 30 seconds where Luke chucks his lightsaber.
And the only thing that makes the Jedi Order different in the Legacy era versus the prequel era is that they are allowed to get married. And the only reason why they're allowed to get married is because there was, like, 10 years of EU already before the prequels came out.
And even then, you kind of got the impression that Denning et al. Were kind of allowing attachments under duress.
Yeah.
I mean, remember that...
Well, even in the prequel era, when there are not supposed to be attachments, you still got Obi-Wan having a bunch of relationships. You've got Qui-Gon having relationships. So, I mean, it's kind of... Without having relationships, it's kind of a boring story, you know, like...
Well, yeah, you have to look at it from just a strict narrative standpoint. Yeah. If you don't have these relationships, it's really, really, really hard to craft
a compelling
character.
And it's not just romantic relationships, but the romantic relationships are what creates families most of the time. So, you know, you have Han and Leia not getting married, then you don't have Jason and Jaina. You don't have, you know, you have Corin is not marrying Mira. And they don't have children.
That's the other thing. Are Han and Leia married? Because if they are, why does it apply to Luke but not them?
I've always heard so many people saying Luke shouldn't get married, and they say nothing about Leia. I mean, if Luke cannot get married because he's a Jedi, then Leia can't either. It's plain and simple.
And, I mean, we also have to come back to the, there's kind of a dearth of genetic material. That,
yeah.
You know.
You might want to procreate.
Midichlorians and crap.
Yeah. So,
you're
going to
have a hard time rebuilding the order unless, you know, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's Force sensitivity pops up and randomly, but it's also passed down genetically.
Mm-hmm.
And that's canon because Luke and Leia could use Force. So.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, and, I'm not trying to say, again, I'm not trying to say people can't have a fulfilling life if they don't get married and have kids. It's just for that character specifically, I can't see him.
If Luke is the first of the new, he needs to be new.
Yeah.
He cannot be.
And the best way to make him different is to have him have a family.
Yes.
Whether it's a traditional husband, wife, children, or just him and children, or
the prohibition on attachments. Ostensibly is what led to the downfall of the old order.
Or even if he has a husband, who cares?
Who cares? Just attachments are okay.
I mean, I would love to see single Luke with an adopted kid. I think that would be kind of great.
I agree.
But I do think, I kind of feel like Luke is the person who needs someone to balance him out.
Yeah.
Whether that's a wife or his sister.
And we have to be clear again, this isn't because we've read a lot of the expanded universe. This is based just on what we've seen in the films.
Well, and I think also one of the reasons why so many people who read the EU were like, Luke should be with Mara. Luke should be with Mara is because, Zahn wrote Luke very much according to what the movies are. And look at this character who balances him out so well.
And it is so easy to forget that just because the books came out so long ago, Heir to the Empire, that trilogy may have the truest to form characterization on all of those characters.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just plain there. This is a character who benefits really well having someone to balance him out and, work well with someone else. Like, I think his strengths are amplified when he has someone to bounce off.
Okay, so to wrap this very long segue
Luke
up,
Hermit, bad.
There
nope.
we go. And to continue on back in Biggs' bullshite. Wow, that was a 20-minute digression.
It was.
Oh, well. Rumor, Dominic Monaghan to play a Jedi. And this rumor probably exists for no other reason than Abrams.
Well, he's kind of cool.
He is cool. I wouldn't say
having
no.
an Irish Jedi.
I want to see Simon Pegg as a Jedi just to make people's heads explode.
That would be kind of funny.
It would be.
And there's also rumors about an Oxford-educated actress, Maisie Richardson-Sellers, rumored to be up for a role.
First off, A+ for a person of color.
Yes.
And I really like the recurring theme with these rumors that they're actively going out and finding actors and actresses of color.
Yeah, and apparently she's a, pretty good actress, so that's a good thing.
Also like the unknown angle.
Yes, I do. I like that as well.
I really like that.
However, there is a rumor going around that based on previous casting calls and just other stuff that one of the main characters is going to be a descendant of Obi-Wan Kenobi, and that this character is going to be, this actress will play that character.
Now, first off, I don't buy this rumor at all because this rumor's existed before the script rewrite.
Yeah. But I have a lot of problems with it.
And here comes segue number two.
And first of all, it's not that a person of color is going to play a descendant of Obi-Wan Kenobi because there's this thing called, marrying someone of a different race and having biracial children or adopting children of a different race. So that isn't relevant at all to
this
discussion.
That's your reason for not liking this rumor, you can take that one and shove it.
Yeah, that's not our reason. Our reason is because I don't think Obi-Wan Kenobi has any descendants or should have any descendants. I think it's a stupid idea for the exact opposite reason of what we were just saying before about why Luke should not be a hermit.
Because Obi-Wan is the symbol of the old order.
Yes. And if Luke should be married and have a family to show that things have changed, Obi-Wan stays the same. That's, you know, he stays on Tatooine for 20 years looking over Luke. And that's his, after, you know, the Jedi Order destroyed, that's his calling, to make sure that Luke survives and grows up and then trains him. And I was ranting about this on Twitter, and basically all of my arguments came down to go read Kenobi. And I know it's EU.
Not because it's EU, but because Kenobi is a fabulous character still.
It really is. Like, I think it's
probably as good as Obi-Wan's ever been written in Star Wars.
Even, yeah. Like, I would say better than the movies. And the reason is because it takes off what we know from the movies, and it dives into his character in a way that, you know, you never really think about. And even, especially because it's not from his point of view at all, which is makes it even better. But you see, Obi-Wan is drawn into this community and kind of gets involved with this family. And the character Annaline starts to develop feelings for him. And at the end of the book, spoilers, if you haven't read Kenobi, stop listening. But at the end of the book, it's kind of implied that he can go off and live with her and kind of see what happens. And it's, you know, that's something that could happen. You know, he obviously has some sort of feelings for her. She has a lot of feelings for him. And he says, I already have a family, you know. He has to stay on Tatooine. He has his family already. And this is after the Jedi Order is destroyed. So all the people who are saying, well, Obi-Wan could have, you know, gotten with someone in between the movies. This is after the movies. This is after Revenge of the Sith, after the Jedi Order is destroyed. You know, for all intents and purposes, he's not a Jedi anymore. But he still chooses his duty over a possible relationship and family. So I just think that's proof to the pudding that anything else that would come at him in those 20 years is not gonna tempt him.
Would you be okay with this rumor if it was some extended family?
If it's like his great niece or something, like, because we don't know if he had he could have had brothers or sisters. He's taken away from his family.
Which is something else I hope that the new order doesn't do.
So, I mean, we don't know what siblings he has or whatever. I mean, yeah, that's fine. Like, someone named Kenobi, you know, popping up who is his niece or someone. Okay, I could see that. But, like, a granddaughter,
yeah, no. Direct descendant, don't buy it.
Especially, I mean, like, he had chances, too, that are actually canon and on film. Mm-hmm. Like, Satine. And he stayed a Jedi.
The only way this could have happened is if it was during the dark times.
And I don't buy that.
I don't buy it.
Because even after the events of Kenobi, he basically, you know, says, goes to the desert and lives out the rest of his days there. And only goes into town when he has to, so. I think it's just grabbing at straws, like, okay, we need someone to be a main character. Let's have it be a descendant of Obi-Wan. And it's so fanficky. If you want to have a descendant of someone, why not have it be of Luke? There you go.
I mean, that's what, Luke makes sense, Obi-Wan doesn't. And no. It comes back to what the characterization that was presented in the films.
Exactly.
And in the Clone Wars.
So, yes, if you want to have a descendant of Obi-Wan who is a person of color and is a great niece, A+, gold star. Granddaughter, nope,
not a direct descendant. distant relative, yep, do it, great, I love it. Finally, Peter Mayhew is reported to be back playing Chewie. And the expanded universe went supernova.
Yeah.
Come on, we didn't really think they were going to, they're going to create a film in which it is canon that a moon got dropped on Chewie. We didn't think that, did we?
No. People are saying we knew they weren't going to follow the EU, so why were people surprised? I think it's because we knew they weren't going to follow the EU, but there was a lot of talk about when they were going to set the movie and what the plot was going to entail, because they could have very easily set it farther enough down the timeline past all the EU stuff that has happened,
mm-hmm.
and just not reference it.
Yeah.
And I think Aaron Alston mentioned that at a convention, so it's not a stupid idea if Aaron Alston mentioned it.
No, I mean, it's possible. I don't think that's
gonna... Well, obviously that's not the way they're going to go. No. I didn't think they were going to end up that way. But another thing is, like, while I don't think we, you know, as Star Wars fans should be like, they owe us anything, or I've bought all these books, and it is kind of frustrating because no matter what, you know, was said about the canon status of the EU, it still was the story.
Mm-hmm.
It was the sanctioned story of what happens after Return of the Jedi, and because George Lucas said for so many years that he would never make Episode 7, that's all we had, so that was the story. I think we all knew that if he was going to make Episode 7, it wasn't going to be anything like the books, which was fine because we didn't have to think about that ever happening.
Because it would never happen. There was no, it would never happen.
And now it is.
To this day, I thought you were pulling my leg when you sent me that text saying that Disney bought Lucasfilm and Episode 7, 8, and 9 was happening.
Yeah, But, like, it's just, I mean, I haven't been very attached to the post-Return of the Jedi era EU lately, but there are parts of it that are very near and dear to both of us, and it would be sad to see that go. And it's not like we're not going to have the books anymore still, but it's just, I think it's just because it's so unknown still,
mm-hmm.
you know. We don't know what's going to happen to the EU going forward. We don't know what sort of status it's going to be. Are they just going to stop writing books and this EU pre-2015 is going to be Infinities? Or are they going to continue on with a multiverse? Like, it would be a lot easier to accept if we knew what was going
to
happen.
I mean, I would love for them tomorrow to just come out and say, yeah, we're going to do the Marvel thing, and the EU as it exists now is going to be the ultimate Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
I'd love that.
And we could have Sword of Jedi and all of that stuff. And, I mean, I do like the idea that we'll get new stories, and they're going to be new, and it's going to be a surprise. Like, I like that idea, because the EU's kind of been hashed to death. But It's just the unknown issue that I think bothers a lot of fans, and kind of like, I think we were just talking while we were on the way home from Winter Soldier that, you know, here's a movie that took a story directly from a comic, and no one thinks there's anything weird from that, but you mention taking ideas from the EU and people think it's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, they think it's sacrilege when Marvel next door
is doing the same thing. And I realize it's not the same because, you know, comics originate in comics.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is the same, is that movies make way more money than books and comics. And that's what more people are going to be exposed to. So why the hell not take ideas from the EU that are good and use those? I think that's the thing that makes me mad when people are like, they're not going to take anything from the EU, like inferring that.
But they already have.
Yeah, they already have.
But did you watch the Clone Wars?
Yeah. And there's stuff in the EU that's really terrible, and there's stuff that's really good. You know, people have been wondering if Mara Jade's going to show up in Rebels, which I don't think she will. However, I could very much see an Emperor's hand showing up.
Mm-hmm.
because the Inquisitor is an EU creation, and they're using that sort of thing as the main villain of Rebels. Yeah.
But I am with you. It would be nice to just know. And, well, I've said it on a show before, but if the EU, as we know, it's going to be an offshooting universe, if it's going to be Infinities, if it's just going to stop, just say it now and give people a year and a half to come to terms with it.
I think, and I talked about that before, is how that, you know, I really didn't want Anakin to know he was going to have kids beforehand. And I hated the idea, but I had time to get used to it. And then I saw the movie, and by the time I saw the movie, I was used to it, you know. So I think the main theme of this podcast is that just tell us something, anything, please. Like, not having no information is kind of terrible. And it's not just because we're whiny and impatient, but I just, you know, just be nice to know.
Yeah, it would be nice to know. And, you know, there's stuff to be said for releasing too much information because it creates hype, but I think the total radio silence blackout has just the same problem.
Uh-huh.
So give us time to get used to things. I mean, we know Star Wars is going to change, but wouldn't it be nicer to get that now and give people a year and a half to adjust so they can go in to Episode 7 knowing what the state of the EU is?
Yeah. Definitely.
I mean, I'd much rather go into Episode 7 having made my peace with the EU than having that be one of the big lingering questions as I'm sitting in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to see Episode 7 and have Episode 7 be that and just stand there on its own merit. Whether it's right or not, if you don't say anything about the EU before then, that's going to be inextricably tied into many people's Episode 7 viewing experience.
Mm-hmm. Or just the basic plot, place in the timeline, what the big three are doing, you know. Is Luke a Jedi Master? Is Leia in politics? Is Han cranky and in a rocker? You know, just kind of basic stuff. Like, I don't want it to be spoiled, but it would at least be nice to know. This is the state of things going into it.
Yeah, I mean, we don't need the specifics, but
just even just give us the crawl beforehand.
Yeah, you know? We don't need to know the specifics, but at least let us know what the state of Star Wars is. Because don't forget that the expanded universe is Star Wars to people.
Uh-huh.
Like, the Clone Wars is someone's Star Wars. Or the original trilogy is someone's Star Wars. So it deserves the same dignity and respect that the films and the Clone Wars got.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I've got to say about that.
I would also like to say that apparently at WonderCon there is already a Star Wars Rebels cosplay group.
That's fabulous. I love cosplay.
Yep. There's a Sabine, Hera with a teddy bear chopper droid, Ezra, and Kanan.
Awesome. All right. Well, shall we wrap up the show there?
I think so.
All right. We did an hour and 10 minutes just talking about news and rumors. Go us. We're not going to miss a month of podcasting again. We'll try and be back next week.
Yeah.
Okay. This episode of Tosche Station Radio has been brought to you in part by Her Universe and Audible.com. Check out the links on the site to help keep the show running. On Twitter, you can find us with the handles at Tosche_Station. That's the official show account. You can find Nancy Pants, or Nancy with at Nancy Pants, Nancy with an I. You can find me with at Lane Winry, LaneWinree. On Facebook, we're the Tosche Station Network. We're available in the iTunes Store and now Stitcher, so subscribe to us there. You can find our columns and news at Tosche-Station.net, the official blog of the show. Thanks for listening to another episode. We'll catch you, hopefully, next weekend.
Bye.
So long. We'll be right back.
This podcast has been brought to you by Majestic Giraffe Productions and is the official podcast of TashiStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Tashi Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.